Welcome to the Money Insights Podcast, where high income earners go to learn wealth building strategies that will take them from high income to high net worth.
Welcome into another episode of the Money Insights Podcast, where we talk all things money and business. I'm your host, Christian Allen, and with me, as always, on the other line, my co-host and business partner, Rod Zabriskie. What's up, my friend? How are you today?
I am doing great.
It's another beautiful, sunny Tuesday morning in the great state of Utah.
Yeah.
We're coming at you.
Yeah, you gotta love the fall weather.
Yes.
It's amazing.
With some exciting content today, though, Rod.
Yeah.
Very excited.
I'm excited.
I'm especially biased toward this content today.
Yeah.
Okay, so to introduce the topic really quickly, we are going to do the Get to Know Christian segment.
Yes. I've been looking forward to this.
Or episode, right? So instead of me kind of leading the direction of the show, we're going to switch it up, and I am going to become the interviewee. Rod, I'm going to turn it over to you, and you can ask me whatever you want. There are no secrets here.
Okay.
We're completely transparent.
I'm counting on it.
I mean, almost anything. Just kidding.
All right.
Anything you want to know, I'm happy to give it to you. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, we're gonna give you a softball to begin with, because I'm just gonna say, hey, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Yeah. Happy to. My name's Christian Allen. I'm the president and CEO of Money Insights. I have two kids, and I've lived in Utah almost my entire life. I had a couple of years where I spent in Virginia on an LDS mission, and then other than that, I've lived in Utah my entire life. I'm trying to think of other things that are interesting. I love sports. I like to build businesses. Like, that's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
So I don't really have like normal fun activities. I kind of just like to work. And I say work, like not kind of the traditional work. Like, I don't like to build spreadsheets, you know, that's not fun. But I do like to strategically build business. And so my favorite things to do are to build Money Insights and our other businesses. So that's kind of what I like to do when I'm not hanging out with my fam, who I obviously love and love to spend time with.
Yeah. Okay, so what's something interesting about you that most people don't know?
Okay, I've got a good one. I, at the ripe old age of 5 years old, jumped off a card table onto my head and broke my vertebrae. So I had a five-year-old, picture it, five-year-old with little glasses. By the way, I didn't need glasses, so that was weird. But five-year-old with glasses and a big old, you know, this big old plastic neck brace.
Wow.
I was in the hospital for a couple weeks. I remember this was kind of sad. My mom tells me that I kept asking her when I was in the hospital, like, Mom, am I going to die? Am I going to die? Am I going to die?
Yeah.
So, like, even in the moment, I had, like, I felt like the intensity of it. I remember people would be like, oh, there's the little miracle boy. So 5 years old, I broke my neck. And so I am in a lot of ways lucky to be here lucky to be, you know, fully functional from a physical standpoint.
Yeah.
Now to be honest, I have some some long-term repercussions for my health a little bit. But nothing anywhere close to what a lot of people have to deal with in those kind of situations.
Something like that.
So
yeah.
I'm not a paraplegic, for example.
Yeah,
so
right.
Feel blessed to be in that. That's probably the one of the most interesting things that most people don't know about me.
Okay, I'm going to ask a question that you probably are not going to be able to answer, but give it your best shot.
Okay.
What were you thinking? You were five, right?
But, actually, I think I have a pretty good idea on this.
Okay,
so believe it or not, I remember it well enough and was like conscious enough to think back and I can almost like vaguely picture myself standing up there. So here's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking that I had put a bunch of sleeping bags and pillows and things, and I think I was just trying to like dive in and do kind of a flip and like just didn't make it all the way.
Oh.
And I just kind of landed on my head. Now here's what's really crazy about this. I just got up and played for a while. Like, I shouldn't say I got up and played. Like, I'm sure it hurt and it was a problem.
Yeah.
But, like, we didn't go into the hospital to the doctor till the next morning.
Wow.
Because I didn't realize. I remember going out to, my mom sending me out saying I could go play. And I remember I, like, walked out the front door. I can, like, picture myself doing that. I'm walking out the front yard. I probably go out the front door 10, 15 steps, and I just like break down, start crying, and like go back inside, and I'm like, I guess I'm done. So I knew something was wrong. I just didn't know what it was. And the next morning, when it was still a significant problem, my mom sent me and took me into the doctor, just like a regular family doctor. And then from there, I was in a, I was moments, well, not moments, but maybe 20 minutes later, I was in a, ambulance.
Wow.
Going towards Primary Children's Hospital. So luckily, there was a very nice paramedic who blew up a glove and hung it up for me because I was, I couldn't, they didn't want me to move at that point, right? Like if you move too much, I could become,
I get spinal damage.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it could be a lot of painful, bad issues. So anyway, that's, I think, what I was thinking. And that was kind of my experience. And some of it I probably am making up in my head because I know how our memories change so dramatically over years. Mm-hmm. But at least of my 37 year old brain today, that's how things went down when I was five.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right.
So note to everyone, don't do that. Just don't do it.
I think that's a fair recommendation.
Well, I still have like moments where I'm nervous about that when I see like my kids doing things or I see I'm like, oh, you know, so I definitely have some anxiety that has stuck with me over, you know, those types of situations.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I can see why. Again, if you're as a 5 year old trying to grasp the gravity of the situation and asking if you're going to die. I mean, that's.
Yeah, that was no good.
That's pretty intense.
That's no good.
Okay. Okay, so let's switch over. So you mentioned a little bit ago that you're you don't leave work, but let's just say what do you like to do outside of work when you're when you are with the fam?
Okay, so lots of things, but I would say my kids and I, well, so recently my kids and I have just started doing a podcast. Oh. So we're quite excited about that. We've recorded a few episodes. We still need to, you know, I still need to make sure that they're really committed before we do. Mm-hmm. But we want to put out the Disney for Dummies podcast. And nice. So my family, my kids and I are huge Disney fans. We like to, you know, do normal things. Like we like to go to movies and go out to eat. And like this, you know, during COVID, we've taken a lot of walks and gone to the mountains a lot. So we're lucky to live close to a lot of pretty places that we can go.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yeah, we kind of do it all. And then, you know, we'll go out and play basketball or whatever. Just kind of normal things.
Just hanging out, doing cool stuff. Cool.
Yep.
Okay, so how did you end up in with a career in the financial services?
So when I was 18, I tell this story in our founder video. But when I was 18, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And when I was 19, I went off on an LDS mission for 2 years, right? So while I was there, my dad passed away. When I got home a couple years later, trying to unfold kind of all the different things that have gone on in my family's life, but particularly my mom, what I found is that when I got there, she had been basically taken advantage of. And so I kind of dug in trying to figure out what's going on here and like tried to really understand the financial tools that she had been recommended to utilize, as, you know, basically the way to make sure that she could live the rest of her life without having to go work or whatever, you know, keep the same kind of standard she had been used to. But it was kind of a disaster and there was some, you know, some sketchy stuff that had been done. And so my research kind of got me into the industry a little bit. And then I broke in because my cousin was with a very reputable company that most people really like. No, I say that. I shouldn't say it that way. My cousin was with an MLM company that did financial services, Primerica. Mm-hmm. And he kind of recruited me in. And I was like, okay, I was intrigued enough to want to know and get into the business. I did that with him for about 6 to 9 months. And I thought I was on the fast track to making that my career.
Yeah.
But luckily, I was saved. I had a good friend whose dad was the vice president of a major financial institution, and he kind of gave me a little bit of mentoring, showed me some light. I then went into what I would call a much more reputable planning situation. Yeah. And then I built my career from there. So that's kind of what got me in. But I would say the biggest catalyst was just seeing a bad situation happen to my mom and wanting to, you know, go out and do a better job for people and for her.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's those are the kinds of things that really motivate you, right? And to
for sure, that was kind of at that time, that was my big why, you know?
Yeah, right. Not just make a career out of it, but do it right. Yeah.
Do it right. Very cool. And that's, you know, and I think that, you know, again, shameless plug here, but I think that's why we're so meticulous about doing it right all the time with every person. I would never, like, I can't even imagine that call when someone says, like, hey, you know, you screwed me over, or yeah, you know, you did something that was dishonest because you were going to make more money or whatever.
Right.
So that just doesn't even exist inside of our world. And it's really important to me. Again, having seen that happen to my own mom, man, I'm super committed. We're super committed to doing it the right way.
Yeah. Perfect. So what's something you wish you had known when you got started? So what, 15, 16 years ago, you're making these choices and getting involved. What's something you know now that you wish you would have known then?
Okay. Well, as it specifically relates to our business and the industry, I wish that I would have known that everything that anyone tells you is completely backwards. It's just so bad. So when you get into the financial planning business, any training that anyone gives you, okay, I shouldn't say that. Like, there's product training and there's concept and strategy training, but like, as far as building a business training, it is the worst advice that you could get anywhere. Like, the advice is like, okay, here's what you're going to do, guys. You're going to go and you're going to make a list of your friends and family, and you're going to make a phone call to them, and you're going to tell them you don't want to sell them anything, but you're going to call them and say something like this. You're going to be like, hey, sis, this is Christian. You know, I just got involved with this financial service company. I was hoping I could just come show you what I'm doing. I'm not going to try to sell you anything. Like, we really just want, it's really for practice more than anything else. But anyway, just hoping you, you know, for your brother here, take a little time, sit down with me and see, you know. And of course, they're like, oh, okay, yeah, happy to do it, whatever. And then you go there and like, you take your trainer with you, right? And they're like, you know, you get 20 minutes into it and you realize they're hard selling your sister. And you're like, oh, shoot. But on the other side, you're like, well, I kind of want to make money. So like, that's good. But like, I really don't want... Anyway, long story short...
And your sister knows that you're in that position, right? You need to make money, and so now she feels this...
Yeah, and now they're like, okay, maybe I guess I'll buy my term insurance from you rather than... Like, whatever. Like, it's just such a... Okay, so here's the problem with... There's no problem with, you know, honestly going and working with your family and friends. Like, that's great, right? Mm-hmm. If you can provide value to them, then awesome. We should do it. The problem is that you can't build a business exclusively off your family and friends.
Yeah.
Eventually... And you, for most people, it's pretty quick. You run out of family and friends,
right,
especially when they start hiding from you because you're trying to get appointments with them so aggressively, right?
But wait, don't you have a bunch of siblings?
Yeah, I do. I have. Even I then, come from a family of seven kids, and it still isn't enough to build a career off of. So what I learned, I really believe this, like, do the exact opposite of what anyone in the financial planning industry teaches you to do from a business building standpoint. Now, from a actual planning standpoint, well, it might even be worse. You should do the exact opposite of that too. So anyway, I know I'm going off here, but I would say avoiding the time that I spent kind of going with the crowd, assuming that people knew what they were talking about, maybe not questioning enough. So I spent about 5 or 6 years in the more traditional space before I finally, you know, was willing to look myself in the mirror and say, hey, like, things aren't going, like, I'm not doing for people what I was wanting to do for people. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not really doing anything different than, you know, the Merrill Lynch guy down the street or whatever. Like, we're all just kind of getting people to invest in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. There's very little planning. It's all about trying to generate the best return. And the way that we do that is by throwing people in, you know, index funds, which, again, I have nothing against index funds, but as the strategy, like, there needs to be more than that. And so our focus obviously is to create strategically help people make that move. And it means more than just, you know, hoping that the market performs.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So Now I want to have you give me one financial myth that you'd really like to debunk.
Okay. I have a bunch, but I'll just go with maybe the most hot button item. This is really funny because for whatever reason, this is just a super hot button topic. In fact, if you go onto the White Coat Investor blog, there's just like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments under this. So I would say the biggest myth that I think that exists out there, or at least the one I want to debunk, is just the buy term, invest the difference myth, mm-hmm. right? Now, okay, let me be clear. That doesn't mean that buy term, invest the difference is a false concept. It just means that it's false for most people, right? Like, it makes a lot of assumptions that you have to go and assume or going, you know, you have to make the assumption that things are going to turn out a very specific way in order for it to work out the way you want it. The other thing that it does is it negates all of the, or the majority of the benefits that come from using whole life insurance, right? Or permanent life insurance. Like, there's no one considering inside of that buy term, invest the difference scenario that when I max fund a policy, I can go and use that for all of my investing and generate a better return. Like, where does that show up in the buy term, invest the difference? It doesn't, right?
Right.
All they're doing is saying, okay, you know, life insurance, this life insurance policy is going to get me, you know, that might generate 5%, and I'm going to say that the market's going to generate 10%. And so if I take a little percentage for my term insurance, I'm going to end up ahead of the game with mm-hmm. buy term and invest the difference, right? But it's just missing 90% of the narrative and the mark. And again, that's why we emphasize that if you're a high income earner, then you desperately need to move away from this, because it will be a crutch that keeps you from taking the next step and creating the generational wealth that most people want to.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. And I would say that we fall somewhere in between, right? We're not the guy that says...
I love term insurance, by the way.
Yeah, right. We're not saying whole life is the only thing for everybody out there. That's how you should take care of all your life insurance needs, right? It's a very different...
Absolutely
very,
like not. You said, for most people... Narrative. Yeah, I think for most people, term insurance as your kind of key cog in from a death benefit perspective mm-hmm, mm-hmm. absolutely makes sense. We individually have term insurance. So yes, we believe in term insurance. And we also know the incredible tool that using permanent insurance can be for wealth building. Is that Perfect. Fair to say?
Yep. That is good. That's a good one. Okay. So you mentioned earlier your title and your kind of your role at Money Insights, but talk a little bit more about What do you do on a day-to-day basis inside of the Money Insights
Okay, so
umbrella?
This is Rod grilling me a little bit. He's actually wondering what I've been doing with my time. okay, so yeah, I'm happy to talk about it. So obviously for years, I was the front line with clients. I did that for probably 12 to 14 years where I met with people. That was the primary thing. And even when we started working together years ago, like you were kind of supporting as I, yeah. and then like, I mean, not support, that's not the right way, but
we'll
you were doing
together,
a lot of the administrative stuff on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of taking the lead. Yeah. Well, so more recently what we've done, and this has been incredible for the business, is we've moved to a situation where Rod is doing 90% of the production. And you know, we're building out other team members that are starting to help as well. But what do I do on a day-to-day basis? Well, I get up at about 2:30 or 3 a.m. I usually listen to a podcast and do an hour on the elliptical. I try to read a little bit every morning, and I usually send a lot of texts to you at odd hours.
Yeah. I always wake up to good texts.
Yeah, right? Like, that's my best time, right? So, and then once I kind of get into the day, I usually will have maybe two or three, on average, let's say about three meetings. And then besides that, I'm like strategically focusing on building the business. So as an example, yesterday I was on another podcast doing an interview. And, you know, I'm focused on generating, you know, more lead flow from our ideal and likely buyers, from our target audience. And so I focus more on growing the business, Rod gives me a chance to work on the business while he's working in the business. And I think that's probably the best way to think about kind of how we work together and what I do day to day.
Yeah. And just from my side, I mean, it's recognizing strengths and basically putting each of us in the seat where we can, make a go of it and make the most of it and to take advantage of those strengths. So, okay. So
yeah, we've done pretty good. We built a, multi-million-dollar company doing it this way. And so,
we'll just keep,
we're onto something, I think.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep rolling with it. Yep.
Perfect.
We have got a long way to go.
Okay. So one last question, and that is, so with the podcast, the Money Insights podcast, what's the one thing most that you hope that listeners will take away from it?
Okay. That's a great question. I think more than anything, I hope that people will consider looking at things in a different way, right? So I went through this epiphany that a lot of the traditional planning things just aren't that useful. And I think this applies both in the way that we build businesses, and all of the concepts that we talk about, or the majority of them, go against conventional wisdom. And so my hope is that we can help people think maybe just a little bit different and, you know, find more effective ways that are out of the box often to grow their wealth and their business.
Ah, perfect.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay. Well, thank you for letting us deep dive into who Christian is, and I learned something.
I hope I didn't put everyone to sleep.
There were some details there that I hadn't learned, even though we've been working together for 10 plus years. So
10 years and about 4 hours a day on the phone, and we still came up with something. Yeah, so that's pretty good.
So good. All right. Well, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you. Okay. So I just want to say thanks, Rodney, for taking the time to interview, preparing the questions. I didn't look at any questions beforehand. I wanted it to just be off the cuff, wherever it comes from. And I thought you did a fantastic job with your interview questions. So maybe we'll just wrap this one up, put a bow on it. But as always, this has been the Money Insights podcast. You can go to our website at moneyinsights.net. We have a new website that we're driving people to because we have a new concept. Oh, you know what? Maybe I should throw that out really quick. So new concept that we've been using is called an F3 score. It stands for Financial Freedom Factor. And what we do is we've built out an assessment. The idea is to help people get a better grasp on where they're at in this road moving from high income to high net worth. So we ask 15 questions that are based on not just the numbers, but also behaviors and attitudes. And we'll create a score that you can then say, okay, this helps me get a better idea of where I'm at and what I need to be doing. So the place for that is f3assessment.com. So you can check us out at f3assessment.com or moneyinsights.net. And
Get your score.
Yes, get your score. Absolutely. And then give us a like on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen, because we're obviously a brand new podcast and we need to get our name out there. We'll keep doing some things. We'll start getting guests on, doing some fun stuff like that. But obviously we got to get rolling first. So if you can, or if you think we're even halfway decent, just give us a review. Anyway, thanks so much for listening to us, the Money Insights podcast. Till next time.
Thank you for listening to the Money Insights podcast. To learn more about the financial and business strategies discussed in this show, visit moneyinsights.net.